Still didn't get everybody. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
There we go. Sometimes you gotta just keep trying and trying again, apparently. Okay. We will be on lesson number 6. This evening, lesson number 6. Thank you for handing those out already, Pastor. Lesson number 6 in our study of living beyond your capacity and the ministry of the Holy Spirit here. And this is another really, really good, be challenging lesson for us on his separating ministry. But before we get in any further in that, let's go ahead and pray before we start. Lord, I do thank you for this evening and just the opportunity that we have to be gathered together in your house. Thank you for the services we are already able to have today, this morning and then at close to home. Thank you for that. And then, of course, the kite flying as well after that, that you would just be working in that. And thank you that we were able to, I think, have a good time, hopefully bring some joy to some folks and get everybody safe in the process. And just think of this evening now. Just please, let's be able to focus on you and your word. Just please help me and present the lesson as I should, and that you would just speak to the hearts, to our hearts and lives this evening, Lord. Just please be with us there. But just to focus on the lesson and the time around your word, kind of just put out all the other distractions and things going on at the moment, and just be with us on that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be on, again, as I mentioned, lesson number 6, his separating ministry, speaking of the Holy Spirit. And our text verses are in Ephesians chapter 5 this evening. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm actually going to, I'll read it to start off, because I actually want to read starting back all the way back in verse 1 here. So if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. But Ephesians chapter number 5, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 17. Ephesians 5, 1 to 17. It says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of Christ, and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So again, those are kind of the foundation for the lesson this evening. And it's interesting, you know, we're probably fairly familiar with the verses that follow exactly right after that, which go to talking about, you know, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, etc. And it leads right into the submission passages about, you know, Christ to the church, husbands and wives, etc., and then one to another. But it's interesting, these were kind of, think of the context, these are the verses that kind of immediately precede that, which is kind of interesting. That. One of the most practical ministries of the Holy Spirit is that of providing guidance for our journey and discernment for our decisions. In this lesson, we will learn how He guides us and how we can respond to His leadership in our lives. And people tend to think of having discernment for life decisions as possessing a sort of supernatural intuition that's reserved for like some special group of people. But in reality, the power the Holy Spirit gives to discern is available for every Christian. It's right there, available for you. God desires for you to walk with discernment, and He provides the resources to make it possible. So some goals with the lesson this evening. Number one is that we would understand that the Holy Spirit often leads us through the principles found in His Word. Then number two, that we would determine to heed the Spirit's promptings and live according to what's acceptable, not to us, but to God. Then number three, that we would recognize that obedience to God's commands allows us to more fully discern the Holy Spirit's guidance in our lives. So jumping right in here. Nobody likes to get lost. And yet, that's where many Christians spend their lives, without discernment or direction, to live out God's will. One of the most practical ministries of the Holy Spirit is that of providing guidance for our journey and discernment for our decisions. Do you need guidance for life? I do. You can have it. Through the transcendent companionship of the Holy Spirit, you can walk confidently knowing you are following God's will. This illustration gives a little bit of a dating of this lesson here. Have you ever attempted to use a GPS where it was out of range of satellites? Or you get the, as my one person I know calls it, you get the blue donut on your phone when you're trying to search for somewhere on your maps. But getting back to GPS, perhaps it was blocked by trees or, you know, rural, whatever you want to say that, location that's off maps. Either way, you get a message on the screen, guidance not available. Or it just doesn't do anything. That's pretty frustrating. But even more frustrating is to be at a place in your life where it seems that there's no guidance available for the decisions that you need to make or the direction that you need to go. It is at these times that you can discover the guiding ministry of the Holy Spirit. With the indwelling Holy Spirit, we need never be without guidance. The Holy Spirit takes His Word and teaches and prompts us in His will for our lives. One of the greatest needs of our lives is spiritual discernment. We need the ability to know God's will and to be able to identify and separate from the surrounding choices. The Apostle Paul prayed for the Christians in Colossae to have God's wisdom and spiritual understanding so that they could know and live out the will of God for their lives. And then the first one on the sheet, Pastor, Colossians 1, verse 9.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
We need discernment in so many areas to lead our families, to make wise purchases, to choose friends. No. Every day of our lives, we face a multitude of decisions, some bigger than others, but tons of decisions. And in this lesson, we'll learn how the Holy Spirit guides us in decision-making. Specifically, we'll discover three ways that He gives us the wisdom to discern His plan. So point number one, we have the something of the Lord, and it starts with a D. It's direction, the direction of the Lord. Before we knew Christ as our Savior, life was spiritually dark. Scripture often highlights the contrast of our lives before and then after salvation. Acts 26:18.
To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
And then Ephesians 4:18-19.
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart.
Who, being past feeling, have given themselves unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness.
And Ephesians 5:8.
For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
And then Colossians 1:13.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Now that we know Christ, it's God's desire that we walk as children of light. We read that in the passage in Ephesians 5 when we started. The Holy Spirit, our transcendent companion, provides direction for our lives. And he desires to spread the light that he's brought to our souls at salvation to guide us in our daily choices and decisions. So how does he do that? Subpoint A, the light of his, starts with a P, presence. The light of his presence. Now, as we saw in lesson number one, the Holy Spirit indwells every Christian. His very presence in our lives provides discernment. And we'll notice how practical this is in 1 Corinthians 2:14-15.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man.
Before salvation, you and I could not accurately discern spiritual matters. We didn't understand how to apply God's word to our lives, and many times we weren't even interested in it. That's a picture of what Scripture calls the natural man, one who is simply going through life by his own senses. Yet, when the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our spirits, we have the ability to discern spiritual truths accurately. The indwelling Spirit of God teaches us and guides us. And then subpoint B, the light of his, starts the W, light of his word. The primary tool the Holy Spirit uses to guide our lives is his word. Through the Bible, we see life as God designed it, and we understand God's principles for our daily living. It's never God's desire for us to wander or stumble in the darkness. Now, Jesus himself came as the light of the world, and he promised that if we follow him, we'll have the light that we need for our lives. And that goes right into John 8:12.
Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Even as a Christian, have you ever felt that you were stumbling along in the dark? No, the Holy Spirit uses God's word to reveal the light of God's truth. Psalm 119:105.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Turn to the light that God has provided in Scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to help you discern his truth. Now, while the Bible is no crystal ball that will allow you to see future years in advance, it will provide the guidance that you need for each step of your journey. We must read it, study it, and apply its truths. And we can do all of this only through the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us. Recognize, however, that while the Holy Spirit gives us light, Satan actively works to blind eyes to the power of the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4.
But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
And what a contrast. There. Now, Satan binds people in darkness, while Christ liberates them by truth. Satan blinds minds in unbelief, while the Lord leads his children in faith. Think of Psalm 23:1-3.
The Lord is He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
It's God's desire to lead you, to give you the ability to discern his plan for your life and his principles for your living. The question is, are you willing to follow his leadership? Are you actively seeking truth through his word? Are you looking to him for light on your journey? One teacher who is substituting in a children's Sunday school class struggled to gain the attention of a third grade boy on the back row. Johnny, she finally addressed him with a firm voice and raised eyebrows. Do you have trouble hearing? Oh, no, ma'am, he responded. I just have trouble listening. Sometimes we, too, have trouble listening to the Holy Spirit. He's willing to provide direction, and we are able to hear his voice, but we don't apply ourselves to reading his word, thus listening to his voice. Point two, we have the something of the Lord, starts with a P. Not presence, not prompting, not promise. It is start with P-R-O, or the first three letters. Not providing, P-R-O-T,
protection,
yes. The protection of the Lord. The protection of the Lord. As we commit to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he will protect us from the harm that we too easily bring upon ourselves by our own ignorance or foolishness. So how specifically does the Holy Spirit protect us as we follow his direction? Subpoint A, we have by the Spirit, starts with the P. Power. I'm kind of doing this to you right now. I'm pointing. Prompting, yes. By the Spirit's prompting. The Holy Spirit actively works in the heart of one who has given him liberty. He not only teaches us how to apply his truth, but he prompts our minds and pricks our spirits at the moment of decision. Ephesians 5:9 teaches us that the Holy Spirit prompts us in three areas. Ephesians 5:9. I don't remember who had that next, but Ephesians 5:9.
For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth.
Now, every time we look to the Holy Spirit for guidance, he will direct our choices to that which is good, righteous, and true. That is his fruit, the evidence of his discernment in our lives. Kind of interesting, never thought about that verse before in that way. But the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. When you're evaluating areas of personal choice or guiding your children through these areas, such as friendships, influences, entertainment, music, and even attire, you ask yourself, is this good, righteous, true? Our flesh will seek to justify choices that feed our carnal natures. Isn't that interesting? Let me read that again. Our flesh will seek to justify choices that feed our carnal natures. But a Christian who exercises Spirit-led discernment will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting in his life. Such a Christian will want his life to represent the fruit of the Spirit, which can be summed up in these three words: good, righteous, and true. 3 John, verse 11.
Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God.
And brings us to subpoint B, by the Spirit's, also starts with the P. Proving, yes. By the Spirit's proving. The Holy Spirit not only prompts our minds toward making decisions that are good, righteous, and true, but he teaches us to discern what actually is good and acceptable to God. Our definition of good may not be the same as God's definition. Thus, the Holy Spirit teaches us to prove that which is good, which leads right into Ephesians 5, verse 10.
Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
Now, in this verse, prove, now, doesn't mean to show evidence for, but to examine, to scrutinize, no, to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. Maybe it's prove to yourself, or if you had to prove it to others. It suggests that we need God's Spirit to discern what is genuine and acceptable to God and what's not. In the ancient world, coins were composed of real metals, no, silver and gold, but there's no central banking system as we know it today. And consequently, dishonest traders would shave the edges of coins and then return the shaved coins into circulation. Of course, the coins were now worth less than the value imprinted on their faces, and the dishonest trader benefited from the loss as he would keep the excess precious metal for himself. This practice spread so profusely that in a single century, Athens alone passed over 80 laws to curb it. But the only real check to this fiscal corruption was the honest money changers. Men who not only refrained from shaving the coins, but who refused to turn the shaved coins back into circulation. These men were called dokimos, meaning approved. It is this type of proving in which God gives us the ability to exercise discernment, proving what is true, what is acceptable in his sight. Philippians 1, verse 10.
That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ.
Left to our own reasoning, we would not know how to approve the things that are excellent and acceptable to God. But through Scripture, the Holy Spirit has given us the criteria to accurately discern. Here's a quote from John Owen. It's very good. Without absolutes revealed by God Himself, we are left rudderless in a sea of conflicting ideas about matters, justice and right and wrong, issuing from a multitude of self-opinionated thinkers. Read that again. Without absolutes, isn't there no absolutes, right? Without absolutes revealed by God Himself, we are left rudderless in a sea of conflicting ideas about matters, justice, and right and wrong, issuing from a multitude of self-opinionated thinkers. God's Word is not ambiguous. In the pages of Scripture, God clearly tells us what's acceptable to Him. And He's given us His Spirit to teach us to apply His principles in every area of our lives. Then the choice is ours. Will we seek to discern God's will, or will we merely ignore His guidance and justify our fleshly decisions? The Holy Spirit prompts us to seek God's standard rather than our own. And He guides us in proving what is acceptable to God for our lives. And that brings us to point number three, the something of the Lord starts with an I. It is not I love you, according to Joel. Not indwelling. The instruction, yes, the instruction of the Lord. Now, so far we focused on the process through which the Holy Spirit helps us discern, His presence within prompting us to seek the light of His Word and the fruit of His will. But let's now see three specific commands from God in Ephesians 5 that will help us to daily walk with discernment. And obeying these three commands positions us to be able to clearly discern the Holy Spirit's individual leading in our lives. So subpoint A, we have a something stance, starts with an S. Think of the lesson title. A separated stand. Paul first preached in Ephesus on his second missionary journey. And his city boasted a magnificent temple for the goddess Diana. In fact, the Temple of Diana, also known as the Temple of Artemis, was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. As you may guess, this heathen worship system involved gross immorality and overt occultist practices. As Paul proclaimed the gospel in Ephesus, many people turned to Christ. And these new converts, whose lives were transformed by the power of the gospel, made a bold step. They completely destroyed the tangible artifacts of their pagan worship. And we see that in Acts 19, verses 19 to 20.
Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver.
So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed.
I think they call that quite a bonfire. Paul encouraged this action because he knew it was impossible for these young Christians to straddle the fence. They could not grow in the Lord while maintaining a connection to sinful practices. Thus, he challenged them to separate all that was impure and ungodly from their lives. And then years later, when Paul penned this epistle in Ephesians, he again instructed them to separate themselves from ungodliness. And this time, he referred not just to the physical artifacts of their ungodly worship, but to the practices themselves. Ephesians 5, 11 to 14.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them.
For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of that in secret.
But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light.
Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
Do you see the line in the sand that Paul highlighted? It's as if he said, hey, you're now on the side of light and truth. Don't even fraternize with the darkness from which you were delivered. Live in the light. You may or may have not been saved out of a lifestyle of occultism, but either way, the principle holds true. To walk with spiritual discernment, you must separate yourself as God instructs. And sometimes we feel that we can hold on to the world and walk with God. To do so is direct disobedience to God's command. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. God strictly forbids us from walking in fellowship with those who are walking in sin. Of course, that doesn't mean that we isolate ourselves from sinners. In fact, the verse goes on to say, but rather reprove them. This indicates that we would be confronting of the sin with the convicting truth of Scripture. It means that we share with them the gospel of Christ and encourage them to turn to the Lord. But as you can see, there's a wide gap between sharing the gospel with someone and being in fellowship or agreement with their lifestyle. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18, Paul pointed out the double standard of a Christian seeking fellowship with ungodly people. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with the liar, or what part hath he that believeth with infidels? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. If God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Why would we who love God want to preserve ties with those who hate God? These practices will corrode our discernment and cloud our guidance from the Holy Spirit. Remember from Ephesians 5:11 that these are unfruitful works of darkness. The Holy Spirit instructs us to separate from them because they bear no fruit that will profit our lives. They do not fit the criteria of what is good, righteous, and true that we saw earlier. So to walk in discernment, we must obey God's command to separate ourselves to godliness. So let's see the second command. And that would be subpoint B, which is a something walk. Starts with an S. Any guesses? Not sure. S-E-R. A hint there. Serious. A serious walk. A serious walk. Our walk with the Lord and our clarity in discerning and doing God's will is not something to be taken lightly. Here, God commands us to approach life with an awareness of its value and a determination to live out His will for our lives. In Ephesians 5, 15 to 17.
See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
Redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Circumspectly is not a word we use often, but you can probably see the word circumference in it. As you might guess, it means to be looking around carefully, circumspectly. It carries the idea of being aware of your surroundings and being alert for that which could be dangerous or harmful. Now, in this command, God warns us to not just coast through life unaware of our choices and inattentive to His guidance. Think of an idea of like a soldier in enemy territory. He's going to be constantly looking circumspectly all around for that which will be harmful to him. Now, sometimes we get so caught up in the minutiae of day-to-day pleasures or survival that we miss looking at the big picture. Too often we don't even pause to ask the Holy Spirit for discernment and how we use our time or spend our lives. We are on earth for a short time. Therefore, it is imperative that we live our days with Spirit-filled discernment, redeeming each moment that God gives to us. Ecclesiastes 9:10.
Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest.
A quote from George Truett says, "To know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest achievement." It's the Holy Spirit who gives us the ability to discern God's will and to spend our lives wisely, but we must ask Him for guidance and wholeheartedly invest ourselves in walking according to His direction. Romans 12, verse 2.
And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Which brings us then to our last sub-point this evening, a something life. It's a hyphenated word. Spirit-filled life. Not surprisingly, God's third instruction in this passage for walking with discernment is the instruction to be filled with the Spirit, which goes right into a familiar verse here, Ephesians 5:18.
And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
God's guidance in our lives all comes back to walking in the Spirit. We study His Word, and we seek to live by His principles, but the ultimate answer to the equation is the Holy Spirit Himself. His desire for us is not simply that we would know all the right answers, but that we would know Him. We'll more fully examine what it means to walk in the Spirit and what the Spirit-filled life actually looks like in Lesson 13. But for now, remember that walking in the Spirit is about developing your relationship with God. As our transcendent companion, the Holy Spirit desires that we would seek growth in our relationship with Him while walking according to His promptings in our life. So in conclusion, people think of having discernment for life decisions as a sort of mystical, supernatural intuition reserved for specially gifted people. But in reality, the power the Holy Spirit gives to discern is available for every Christian. It's right there, available for you. God desires for you to walk with discernment, and he provides the resources to make it possible. Direction through the light of his presence, protection through his promptings, and instruction through his word. Most of all, he desires for you to seek him and to grow in your relationship with him as you follow his leadership. So that concludes the lesson. Let's go to some questions here. Number one is, what's the primary tool that the Holy Spirit uses to guide our lives? His word. Yes, the Bible. What verse tells us that God's word provides light and direction? One of several, probably. Many. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Number three, what three fruits are evidence of the Holy Spirit's prompting? And that which is good, righteous, and true. And that's kind of a good way to remember that. That the fruit of the Spirit is not goodness and righteousness and truth. What absolute does God provide to help us prove what is acceptable to him? His word. And these next, the last couple questions here are, answers will vary again for you to think about and answer yourself. Number five, it says, since you've been saved, are there people, groups, or activities that you've needed to separate fellowship from? Or are there any fellowships that through this lesson the Holy Spirit is convicting you to separate from? Number six is, since you have been saved, have you had the opportunity to share the gospel with those from whom you've separated in fellowship, and what's been their response? Number seven, do you begin each day asking the Holy Spirit for discernment and how to use your time wisely? What could you do to help you remember to seek his direction? I think that's a really good question for all of us. I mean, because we just, sometimes you get so just busy just doing things that we just forget to just stop and pray. It's a line from a song there. And number eight, what is the greatest area in which you need discernment right now? And what truth from this lesson do you need to apply? And again, probably different for everybody, the answer to that question. But the truth is the same. It's just kind of amazing how God made it applicable to anybody, anywhere, anytime, any culture, any time in history. God gave us a book of principles and commands, but a lot of principles. Then the verse to finish off here, Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Any thoughts before we close tonight from anybody? Anything stand out to you in particular? Anything? Okay, let's go ahead and close. Lord, we do thank you for the lesson this evening and just thinking about your word and your spirit and how they go together and they work together. And specifically in this lesson, your separating ministry, your spirit separating ministry, and just how uses it to help guide and direct our lives, but it's through your word. And again, just thinking about that, of how your spirit leads us into that which is good and righteous and true, so that we can prove what is acceptable unto the Lord, so that we would walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, and that would help us to be able to redeem the time, because the days are evil. I ask that you would just give us safety, going back to our homes this evening, then bring us back together again on Wednesday. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's the church.